from the Divorce Expo in Chicago. It's Divorce Source Radio. I'm Steve Peck, and with me I have Kathy Beatty, and we're going to talk about redesigning your life. Kathy, welcome to Divorce Source Radio.
Thank you so much, Steve. It's great to be here.
I love it. Redesigning your life. We talked off air about it's important after divorce. It's important to a lot of people at any time, but especially after divorce. So tell me, Kathy, how did you get involved in redesigning your life? And in this book we'll talk about soon, Suddenly Single.
Well, I went through my own divorce 16 years ago. And I decided that this would not be the end of the story, that there were things to do, and my life was going to be redesigned, and I needed to have a plan afterwards. So I decided I would write a book and talk about the transition of going through a divorce. And then I involved myself with a group called Divorce Care, which is a ministry. It's faith-based. That is a national program. And I've been facilitating divorce care for about 6 years. And then I discovered that after they go through this 13-week program that helps them grieve and gives them support, that a lot of people looked and said, now, okay, I've been through the grieving and I'm through my divorce, but where do I go from here? So I developed a program called Redesigning Your Life. I do it for 3 hours. I've done it in our church for 3 hours.
These are workshops?
Yes, they are. Okay. They are. And then it was discovered it's just not long enough. So I thought, you know, we really need time away. We need to separate ourselves from all of the chaos, all of the noise, the cell phones, the computers, and just make an intentional effort to redesign, to reconnect with who we were, what we wanted out of our next life, because we've been in a reflex mode. We've been caring for a marriage that was failing, which takes an incredible amount of energy. We've been caring for the kids. We've been working. We've been doing all of this. Mm-hmm. But when do we step back and say, okay, this is the plan. This is what I want to do intentionally, powerfully. This is where I want my life to go. So I developed this program, and we do it on the lake shore. In a small town called Saugatuck, Michigan, which is loved by many people, very artistic town. And just
it's great. I've been there.
Yeah.
Wonderful shops.
Well, right outside of that, it's actually on the border of Douglas and Saugatuck, is a little place called Rosemont Inn, which is right on the water. So we start at 9 o'clock and we end at 5. And last time we did it, we went over, in fact. But it allows them to pull away. And we have several hours throughout the day where we walk and we have a questionnaire to complete and we reconnect with who am I? What do I really want out of my life? And sometimes, Steve, they have to go all the way back to high school and remember, okay, what was it that really excited me about life? Mm-hmm. Who am I? What are my talents? What are my gifts? What do I want from here on in? So we work on that. And at the end of the day, they stand up, those who wish to, stand up and give a presentation of these are my decisions and these are my action points. And the action points are really what we hold ourselves accountable to, because we know what our stress points are. We know what those points of tension are. And we can make decisions all day long, but at some point we have to hold ourselves accountable to the actions. So in doing that, it's really a reinforcement that they stand up and say, okay, these are the things I want to work on, these are the decisions I made, but these are my action plans. And they put them on a piece of paper and they draw them, present them, and have actually the group becomes at that point by the end of the day a real bonded group, and we start feeding off each other and say, well, what do you mean? And we ask them to drill it down, what specifically what they're talking about and what can they do and why do they want to do that. And it's very wonderful and empowering to watch the process.
So it sounds like you're kind of guiding them through this, providing suggestions, asking questions, helping them to understand themselves better.
Right. And it's not that I have any power in me, but they have it in them.
Yeah.
It just needs to be drawn out. And by asking good questions, you can draw that out. And people think, wow, I haven't thought about that for a long time. Or I forgot that I love archaeology. Or I forgot how much I love music and art. And you know, all of those things that are inside of us that we've suppressed because we've been so busy putting all of our energy into other things.
Can you share some of those questions that you would ask in one of these?
Oh, I would love to. I wish I had my materials with me right now. What was it that What was it that you loved to do when you were a child? Or who were you as a child? What was your favorite thing in high school? What was your favorite thing when you were 5 years old?
And so why is that important, though, when you're moving forward?
Well, because we've forgotten that. And the look that is in people's eyes when you ask them, you know, what are your dreams? And I take this from when I was going through the trauma of my divorce. Mm-hmm. And I had a counselor who said, I want to talk to you privately. It was, marriage counseling. And he sat me down and he looked me in the eye and he said, what are your dreams? And I said, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, here I am in this crisis. You're going to ask me that question now? What? That's crazy. And he said, no, Kathy, do not forget your dreams. And it was so profound to me because I was raising three kids. I was going through the divorce. All of my energy was at, and I'd forgotten who I was. And I forgot what my gifts are. And when we discover what our gifts are and our strengths and our talents, then we can begin to contribute those into other people's lives and empower them, but also empower us. And we have this purpose. And our life takes on just a whole new meaning. So it's a wonderful experience.
So I guess I wonder why we forget our dreams. Is it part of maybe a long-term marriage that you went into a marriage with dreams? You lived through a marriage. Many just kind of get through that marriage, and you're involved with your children and your husband, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. especially for a woman, right? Because you really are taking care of a lot of people more so than yourself a lot of times.
Right.
So you forget your dreams.
Yes.
Is that what this is about?
Yes. We're living as a reaction to our life many times because there are so many needs. And that's true in men's lives too. You know, they've got to provide for the family and they've got to provide for the kids and they've got to be a father and they've got to be a husband and all of this. So it's true for all of us. And it's such a beautiful experience to reconnect with where. And the value of that is so we can start contributing to other people. Mm-hmm. And what I was explaining in the session today that I held here is we think, okay, that next relationship, that's where I'm going to find my contentment and find out who I am, and I'm going to be a whole person. And that's not the truth.
Now we're looking outside.
Yeah. Well, really, if we connect with who we are and what our gifts are, what our talents are, then I can start contributing, you can start contributing in that capacity. And all of a sudden, we find that we have a purpose in our life. Mm-hmm. And we feel more full, and we're actually healthier. And so when the next relationship comes along, we have so much more to offer, and we're so much more a healthy, whole person.
I think for some people, when they're in a marriage, say I'm an insurance guy, right? But I always wanted to be an announcer.
Right.
And I realized that within the framework of this marriage, but now I'm going, oh my God, but I can't. You know, I've got a family to provide for.
Right.
If I follow my dream, I have to leave the income mm-hmm. and everything mm-hmm. that my family needs.
Right.
So what do you do with that?
Yeah. Well, you integrate it in is what you need to do. If you're listening and you're in a healthy family and you think, oh, I just have this dream of, well, I had a dream of being a writer. And I've always loved to write. When my kids were little, I needed to write, but I needed to be a mother and I needed to include them, so I integrated it. Mm-hmm. I wrote children's programs. I directed programs in our church. So I integrated that dream into and let it be part of my life. So I felt fulfilled, and I felt like I was using how I was made. I was built that way. I was hardwired to be doing those things, I believe. So, mm-hmm. So if you're in a marriage, and I hope you're holding on to it, if you can at all possible, that you're integrating that dream and you're being true to yourself in doing that instead of just reacting. And I had, in one session that I was holding, a woman going through a divorce, and she said, I don't even matter. I just got to get my kids through this. That's all I care about. And my message to her was, what better gift can you give your children than being a healthy mother? To be whole and healthy. It's not that simple. You cannot sacrifice yourself totally for them because, quite frankly, they're going to grow and they're going to go.
Right.
And you are going to be left. So get whole yourself. So I think we went a few directions
No, it's great though because I asked the question, why is this so important?
Mm-hmm.
And you've made me see why it's important because when you follow your dreams, you are more fulfilled yourself. And when you are, you have more joy and happiness. And the happier you are, the more you have to give to other people.
Right. Very true.
So I guess that's why it's so important. And for those that think and have all the excuses of why they can't find their dream, whether they're still in a marriage or in a divorce situation, maybe they're making excuses. And if they take a look at that question a little bit deeper, they'll find that there is a way. Like you said, you kind of modified your dream of writing.
Right.
And I would say for my scenario that if I were an insurance guy and I wanted to be an announcer, well, it probably wouldn't be too bright to leave my job that pays, but that doesn't mean I have to lose the dream. I could find ways to start to be an announcer and to integrate that into what I did. So
absolutely. So absolutely.
It's all about that.
Yeah.
Hey, you mentioned this divorce care group, and because we're a national show, I wanted to say that this is a national organization as well, correct?
It is. It is. Divorcecare.org. If you go on their website, you can put in your zip code, and it will bring up the nearest church that offers divorce care. It is a faith-based program. I will tell you that we run one in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Calvary Church, and we run it three times a year because the need was so great. We have 25 to 30 individuals that come in each session, and we have many who've never been in church before. We've had Jewish people come in, even though it's a Christian program. It's an open program to anyone to come in, and what we do is we listen to a video on a different specific topic every night, and then we have small group for an hour and a half, and we discuss that topic. And it's a wonderful program because what's marvelous to watch is the first night they come in, and they're very, very raw, obviously. And then about week four and five, you can see their shoulders start to relax and maybe a little smile once in a while, and they think, you know, maybe I can get through this after all. So it's a marvelous, marvelous program that's run throughout the country. Highly recommend it. Also, Divorce Care for Kids, DC4K, is a program also put out by the same organization. And that's for kids from 5 to 12. And it's marvelous. And our church has a great group of a great team that works on it. But what this allows children to do is to identify their feelings. Now, we may look at a 5 to 12-year-old, and I got this from the training that I went to on this program. We may look at a child and think, you know, they're doing okay. They're doing okay. They seem to be doing okay. They're not acting out. Well, they're not doing okay. And if we don't address their needs at that time, when they become teenagers, we'll see them erupt. Not all the time, but you'll see them erupt in one way because that was not dealt with in their younger years. They need to identify their feelings so they can get through this process. It's really, really important. They need to understand that they're not at fault for this. Mm-hmm. They need to understand that mom and dad still love them. There's so much that they need. So if we can do that, when I meet with those people, I say, you know, this is sacred ground. This is such sacred ground, what they're doing there. So they're helping these kids through this process, and great. It's so helpful.
And for the divorce care adult group, number one thing I hear people talk about is the relief in knowing they're not alone. Because sometimes when you go through this, it seems like I'm the only one.
Absolutely.
And it's something divorce, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, there was such a huge stigma.
Right.
And I would say that there's less now, but yet it still exists.
Yes.
There are people that still don't want to talk to friends about it.
Mm-hmm.
And our friends tell us, oh, I'm sorry. And then they just move on, and nobody can really relate to divorce unless they've been there. At least that's the way I feel.
Yeah.
And I did a radio interview yesterday on WGN, and I said that people always talk about divorce being second only to death.
Mm-hmm.
And I would kind of argue that it might be equal to some, if not even worse.
Mm-hmm.
When you suffer a death of someone that you loved,
right,
there is closure to that.
Mm-hmm.
And although the sadness will last, you know that person's not coming back.
Right, right.
So for someone going through a divorce,
it's different.
Well, you've got a battle right out of the gate in court, and then you've got to see and exchange children, and it's something that you live with for a very long time.
Absolutely. You know, no one brings you a divorce casserole when you're going through a divorce. No one shows up at your door.
That's true, man.
Nobody brings the food. Nobody stops by because they don't know most of the time how to react. So they stay away or they say things awkwardly. So we feel that we are all alone.
Or they choose sides, mm-hmm. and maybe that your friends, your as a married couple now, have they're more friendly with your husband, and mm-hmm. therefore they don't see you anymore.
Right.
And so you've lost your husband, you've lost your friends, mm-hmm. and yeah. you're starting over.
Absolutely
and,
are.
And when I think of the age, I think it does play a role in divorce. It's different to get divorced at 25 or 30 than mm-hmm. it is at 55 or 60.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And more frightening in a lot of ways, especially for a yes. mom who may have been a mom all
right.
her life. And now she's, what's she going to do?
Absolutely.
So the fear comes
yes,
in.
That's huge. That's huge. You see it in divorce care all the time. It's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe they don't have the assets. Maybe mm-hmm. there wasn't, you have circumstances, and I've seen so many over the years, but I think of one woman who her husband blew all the money through gambling and alcohol, and she was in her late 50s, so it's like, where does she go? She's starting over. So very, very difficult.
What's your advice to someone like that, besides to get into a group?
Yeah, definitely to get into a group. And I'd say that for anyone going through a divorce, don't go through this alone. You need support. Don't be put the stiff upper lip. You need to be there. I've had many people, all walks of life, come through divorce care and dealing with them. And I've met and I've seen hundreds of people. And it's like the equalizing, the great leveler of all humanity. When people come in and they need that support because they do feel like they're all alone and they don't know how to handle it, how to handle the loss. So don't go through it alone, whatever age you are. And a day at a time. Don't look down the road too far. Just take a day at a time. Sometimes it's an hour at a time, and that's all right.
And I would also add, quiet the mind, especially when you are first served divorce papers or you first maybe find out that your spouse was having an affair, and the mind just wants to run away, and it's
right.
all negative.
Right.
I was speaking with someone else earlier today, and she had this epiphany, this wonderful thought that she said must have been delivered from God, because it was just so brilliant. But it came out of her silence. She said she was in a fetal position, crying with anger, mm-hmm. and the minute she just shut her mind up and allowed her spirit to open up and hear
right.
something, the wisdom came in that it's going to be okay.
Absolutely.
There is life after divorce.
Absolutely. And that was one of the points that I made here, is just realizing where you are, but you're going to be okay. And the reason I tell groups that is because one woman said that to me when I was going through it. She looked me in the eye and she said, Kathy, you're going to be okay. So you are. You're going to make it. There is another side. Yes, quiet your mind. Absolutely.
And you've been divorced now for how long?
16 years.
16 years. Yeah. Remarried?
Nope. Single for 16 years.
Oh,
yeah. Still going at it.
Well, I think that's wonderful. I see a lot of women making that choice today.
Mm-hmm.
Men, to a degree, but more women. And
yeah.
I think that's awesome because they're very strong women.
Mm.
And it's not easy. But then you talk to them a few years later and you say, you ever think about getting in a relationship? And a lot of them say, why? I'm so happy with my life.
Yeah.
If you happen to find someone that you fall in love with, great.
Right, right.
But it's not like you need a man to complete you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Or a woman to complete
yeah.
a man. You learn to live. And you talk about this with the redesign in your life. We talk about just doing the work. If you don't
yes.
take the time to do the work,
mm-hmm.
how are you ever going to get to the other side?
Right.
And so many men and women rush into new relationships
yes.
after they're divorced.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a good idea. Do you?
It's not a good idea. Not a good idea at all. You need that time to go through the process. And regardless of how long you've been married, 5 years, whether it's 20 years, I was married 20 years, you need that time to figure out who you are, and you need that time to grieve that relationship. You need to determine where you want to go with your life so that you don't end up in another relationship, in another marriage, and finding out that, wait, this really isn't what I wanted. It's one of the things I talked about this morning was it's such a beautiful, pliable time in our life. We can recreate it to be anything we want, really. That part of our life is done, and if we go through the process and we realize where we are and we do the grieving and we do that inner work, then we can decide, you know what? This is where I want my life to go. And if you look at planet Earth, I mean, it's huge. There are 7 billion people on this. There are different cultures all over the world. I mean, there's so much to do and get involved with. So now is the time to really look at, okay, what do I want my life to be? And if we think, oh, I've got to get in the next relationship, well, then you're kind of, and I don't want to say stuck, because relationships are beautiful and wonderful. You weren't really ready because you weren't healthy and whole before right. You went into it.
To get right involved in another relationship is circumventing grief.
Yes.
And the grief is a process that's very important.
Exactly.
In death and divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through the Kubler-Ross grief. You've heard them all,
yes.
All of the steps to grieving, and they're all very important. And it's the number 2 chapter in your book, Suddenly Single, and you talk about coping techniques and mm-hmm. grieving through communication, sharing
yes.
your feelings with other people, and healing comes in the form of mourning. What do you mean by
yes.
that?
Yes, we have to realize where we are. We need to mourn that relationship, and that's actually honoring to that relationship. I mean, something beautiful and sacred has died. You need to grieve that. And when you do that, then you are ready to start healing. And until you do that, then you're just kind of skipping over that step. And mm-hmm. it's going to hit you in the backside eventually. So you need to take that time. And then you're healthier because you've done that process that you can't deny. And then you, okay, now I'm ready to heal. Now I'm ready to move forward because I gave it the honor it deserved. I gave it the time, I gave it the processing. But we don't do well with grieving and tears in this society, unfortunately. And, you know, there should be thousands of people here today because it's so necessary and there's such great information here. But we don't do well. You know, it's messy and we don't like messy. We like it clean and fixed and solved in 30 minutes, like, you know, one of our sitcoms. We had all the problems.
Clean, quick, and fast.
Yes, but it doesn't work that way.
No.
It doesn't.
It's one of our number one questions, probably yours too. How long will this take?
Oh, yeah.
It's like there is no answer for that question. I was saying to one of our other guests that I've been divorced for 3 years, and I don't think that I'm over it. I mean, mm-hmm. I still have residual effects and think about this quite a bit.
Right.
I really do. I don't know if 16 years later you could say that you're completely over it, but I think that it always gnaws at you a little bit.
It does, and you get together with people who've been divorced for years, and if somebody mentions the word divorce, all of a sudden you're reliving and hearing these stories. What is it about us that we can't, because it made such an profound impact on us, and it was the union of two souls.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When it's tore apart, yeah, it's going to have a profound effect on us.
And I was one of those people that I lost my father when I was 6. He died, but I felt so strongly about relationships that when I was a young man, I used to tell people that marriage was so important for me. I can remember being as young as 15 and having my children's names picked out, and my whole life was just really about getting married so I could have children and fulfill what never happened for me.
Yeah.
And when someone asked me, it was a woman that asked me about divorce, and what if you get divorced? And I was like, oh my God, I'd never. You know, I mean, this is a 21-year-old guy saying, oh, no. Mm-hmm. And then it happens. Mm-hmm. And for me, I've explained it as it feels like my greatest personal failure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I say that to divorce counselors and coaches, they go, well, failure is not the word, and there's a lot to be learned. And but you know what? I'm just saying it how I feel it.
Right.
It was something that I wanted to work.
Mm-hmm.
I played a role in it not working. And looking back, if both you and I would have known what we know now, mm-hmm. it could have been saved, I believe.
Yes.
Maybe not, but I mean, that's the part, that's the question mark to me.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have saved it.
Mm.
But what do we do? I mean, you were married, you said, for
20 years, yeah.
20 years. I was married for 23 years.
Okay.
And right. I can look back that 5 years, 10 years into the marriage, there were things that were going on.
Yes.
And we had our son.
Mm-hmm.
We were moving forward, and so we chose to just sweep it under the rug.
Right.
And we got over whatever the issue was 2 days later, and we were back to being friendly. But after many of those incidents,
right,
the intimacy starts to pull apart a little bit. You're still friendly, but you're losing a very important part of a relationship.
Right.
If we would have caught it,
mm-hmm.
if there's someone listening right now, you're contemplating divorce.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Because all of us say that if we would have known what we know now,
mm-hmm.
we would have really reconsidered divorce, because divorce is a messy process.
Absolutely. And two things I would say to that. One is a gentleman who said to me, you know, he was on his second marriage, and he said, if I'd have known, if I would have put this much effort into my first marriage, I would have never been divorced, which is very interesting to note. And my second thought, that it was noted that those people who went through the struggles and stayed together, that 5 years later found that their marriage was much stronger. So you have to wonder, gee, did I give up too early? You know, what was the deal? But it is what it is. Yeah. And for me, it was, you know, I took him back the day of the divorce. He was going to come back. And he came back. 5 days later, he left. So there has to be a cutoff point to where, you know what, we can't go further. I mean, this is it. So I'll put up the boundary, and that was it.
Yeah, and so. I can relate to the saying that it takes two to marry, but one to divorce.
Mm.
And so if the other partner isn't willing, there's not a whole lot you can do about it.
Absolutely.
You talked about grieving and healing. I wonder how you feel about forgiveness.
Oh, I feel it's vital for your sanity and to move on.
People have a hard time with forgiveness, especially after infidelity.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And I can very much relate to that. But seriously, what choice do you have? If you hold on to that for so long, then you're going to be bitter, you're going to be resentful, you're going to be angry, and that anger is going to just dwell right in your heart and your spirit, and it'll come out eventually. So the best gift you can give to yourself is to forgive that person.
How do you do it?
How do you do it? You release it. I talked about that today, and realizing what it is, whatever it is, whether it's where you're at, status or what, and then you've got to let it go. Because you don't have a choice. Now, where you let it go is where you release it to is up to you. As I explained in my session, my place of release where I let it go to is the cross of Christ. That's my faith. That's mm-hmm. my belief. That's where I can put it. And I can look at that forgiveness that was given to me and say, you know, this is the least I can do. And really, it's the gift you give yourself. Because then you can move on. You can move on and you can say, okay, I determined now that this is forgiven. This is forgiven. That infidelity, whatever he did, she did. It's time to let it go. Because it's poisoning us. It's the best gift we can give ourselves. Let them go. Let them go. Be free and free yourself by forgiving. Let go of it. Stop holding on to it so tightly. It's poisoning you.
If you're being poisoned by that, you're holding on to it, be reminded that your ex may not be thinking about this too much. He or she may be just going on with their life while mm-hmm. you're bearing this cross every day of feeling certain negative thoughts and feelings. But a lot of people say that forgiveness doesn't mean that you have to forget what was done, but you do have to let it go for yourself primarily.
Yeah, and you think, okay, I'm controlling it. If I'm not forgiving, that means that I've got control. Well, you don't. They're out dancing. You're sitting here with this resentment. So, no, you don't have control. It's controlling you, but mm-hmm. you do not have control by holding on to that non-forgiveness. Let it go. You have too many other things to do.
Right.
You need to be busy using that energy and redesigning your life,
mm-hmm.
getting on the track you need to be on. Life's too short.
Yep.
I put up in my talk today a lifeline. And you've got the rest of your story. Start working on the rest of your story and stop dwelling in this land of what I call swampland and squalor. That's the divorce, the messiness, and living in this small world view of holding on to that bitterness and mm-hmm. holding on to that arguing and that power struggle.
Right.
Let it go. Life's too short. You have so much to do, so many people to meet, new things to encounter and experience. Let it go.
Johnny Mathis has a great song called Let It Go. I don't know if you've ever heard it.
No.
For our younger listeners, you may not even know who Johnny Mathis is, but I tell you what, he was a great singer, and you can YouTube that or find it. Just listen to that song, Let It Go.
Yes.
It's a great piece of wisdom. You brought up the religious aspect, your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were some faiths that believe this is a sin to get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, I will respect, I'll tell you my faith, and they can, the listeners can take it in their faith. It is a sin in my belief, but you know what? That's the glorious message of Christ, is forgiveness. And what I love to talk about in divorce care, we have a session called What the Owner's Manual Says.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about that. And I think, you know, if you look at God as just these rigid rules, the Ten Commandments, you're not looking at the entirety of God. He has those guidelines. And yes, He is perfect. And yes, He is holy. But He's also gracious and forgiving. And He is the God of second chances. And He wants us to have that second chance. He wants us to hold on to that grace and that forgiveness and get about the business of living. It's never meant to shackle us. It's meant to guide us. And it's, you know, I think that's a struggle that every person has or will have, is how do I deal with this? Well, deal with it and understand God is a God of love and forgiveness and a God of second chances.
You bet. And some religions, some faiths are even more so, like the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, we see them starting to have these groups now.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
They do.
Just like divorce care,
they're
having their own groups. They're allowing those to come in. So they're kind of modifying a little bit. And I think they have to. Like you said, it's all about forgiveness.
Right.
You know, who doesn't sin?
And what's interesting is... the churches, yeah, they have struggled somewhat on how to approach this because they think, well, if we talk about it, then we're going to be condoning it or encouraging it. Well, that could be said of any sin. Are we not going to address alcoholism because that would mean that we're supporting it? Of course not. That's ridiculous. Everything, we all have these needs of being ministered to, and divorce is one of the top. And let me say, too, that if you are disappointed or you've been hurt by a church, nothing grieves me more, because that's not the God that wants to encounter you in this experience. It is a religion. It's a group of people who are misinformed and don't quite get it. So my apologies on behalf of any church that has offended anyone that's going through a divorce or said things unkind or cruel or judgmental. It's not the way it's supposed to be, and not the way it is, in my view, of God's opinion of this.
I would agree. So redesigning your life, these are...
All day fun. Yeah, it really is.
For anyone living around that area in Saugatuck, Michigan, you can attend that. But for the national audience, the best way for them to get more information on you and to pick up this great book, Suddenly Single Again, by Kathy Beatty, how do they get that?
You can get it on my website at www.spiritedpresentations.com.
And I would imagine if they want to write you or talk to you, because I have a feeling this will touch a lot of listeners.
I hope so.
So give that email address one more time.
Sure. It's Spirited Presentations, www.spiritedpresentations.com.
All right. Thank you so much, Kathy, for taking time to talk to us and helping us redesign our life.
Thank you, Steve.